So the theme of what we're looking at today with BMS is I will stand. And let me start with the question, what do you stand for? Last Wednesday evening, I ticked an item off my bucket list. I went to see Manchester United play Villarreal in the Champions League at Old Trafford. Now, some of you knew this was coming. I got lucky in getting a not inexpensive seat in the East Stand above and behind the goal at Old Trafford. Do you know how much of the match I spent in that seat? Absolutely none. You see, everyone in front of me stood up as soon as the match began. So I stood up, and because I stood up, those behind me stood up until virtually the whole crowd was on their feet. I suppose that's why it's called the East Stand, isn't it? But I was glad to stand, and when Alex Telles scored a spectacular equaliser for United, and then in the fifth minute of time added on for stoppages, right at the end of the match, Ronaldo scored the winning goal, I was leaping in the air, like everyone else, and singing Viva Ronaldo, which continued as the crowd left the stadium. So I stand for football. But more seriously, though, what do we stand for in our life and in our faith? Often, what we stand for is defined by what we stand against, isn't it? At the start of the match, all of the players on the United team and one for Villarreal took a stand against racism, ironically, by taking the knee. And as I looked around at the racially diverse crowd in Old Trafford, and pretty much all of them were Manchester United supporters, I gained a new perspective on the power of this symbolic gesture. I stand against racism. And I hope you do too. And I also want to stand against hate crime in all its forms, and injustice, and vaccine poverty, and persecution because of religious faith. What do you stand against? And there are things that we need to oppose, aren't there? And yet, if that's all we do, it can become a very negative thing, like certain newspapers that seem to sneer at everything a government does, opposing everything but being for nothing. What do you stand for? And as I thought about this, and I mean, one could go on for a long time, but maybe it's good to think about, for you to think about when you get home. I thought to myself, well, I try to stand for all people having equal worth because the Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God. And I stand, I hope, for all people being able to know unity in Christ, in whom there is neither white nor black, neither male nor female, neither servant nor master, to contemporize Galatians 3, verse 28. And I also stand for all people having freedom of religious expression. And that means that I stand for the rights of Muslims and Hindus and Latter-day Saints, etc., to worship in their way, even though I don't find their way to be the right way. And I support the rights of people to choose a different way to follow, even though that may lead them into persecution by those of the faith that they have left. So there are things, I believe, of which we have to take a stand. Bill Shankly, this is the last football reference, I think, Bill Shankly is famous for saying, football is not just a matter of life and death, it's more important than that. Well, that's a good line, but with all due respect to Shankly, he was wrong. There are more important things than football. Faith in Jesus, on the other hand, is a matter of life and death. And life again, and it is of ultimate importance. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to Father God except through him. And through his death on the cross, he has made the way, he proved the truth, and he offers life to all. I'm sure that you will have heard, as I have, preachers saying, believe in Jesus and all your problems will disappear and you'll be happy ever after. In my experience, it's very different to that. Believe in Jesus, your problems will become clear, and your struggle ever after might be more accurate, I think. Struggle because we have a change of perspective, don't we? Change of standards, of values, of beliefs. And yet, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Happiness depends on circumstances which change, but joy depends on Jesus and what he has done for us, which nothing can change. And that is something I think worth receiving, worth sharing, the life-giving joy of the Lord that comes from the love of God for all people, demonstrated by the cross. Perhaps in the West we've lost some sense of how radical important this is, yet around the world people are coming to faith in Christ, knowing the joy of the Lord and experiencing the reality of rejection and persecution, even from family and friends. And that must be hard. Yet Jesus says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Close your eyes for a moment, if you will. Remember, how did it feel during successive lockdowns not to be able to see or hug your loved ones? How did it feel to be unable to worship in person together? In the past 18 months, we've experienced a tiny glimpse of what it's like to be an isolated believer. Keep your eyes closed for a few moments more. Imagine that you are sitting at home completely alone. What would it be like not to know a single other Christian? Not to know anyone who's here today? How would you grow in your faith? How would you worship? Where would you find strength to carry on? Now imagine that your family and your closest friends have all rejected you because you follow Jesus. They won't talk to you. They don't invite you to their homes anymore. They don't want to know you. And you know that for as long as you're a Christian, they will act like you don't exist. Would you keep trusting God? You may open your eyes if you haven't already. Would you keep trusting God? That was the difficult decision that Kay, the North African believer, had to make. So I asked myself, how will I stand with her and with other believers who have been ostracized because of their faith? How will you? The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we are all one body. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, says the Apostle Paul. Now one BMS-supported church planter in Asia has said this: when people become Christians, their community curses them. So that is a great sadness for them and for us. We need to communicate with them a lot, provide counseling, help meet their needs, and encourage them. Will you stand with those who choose to follow Jesus yet encounter great opposition? Will you stand with those living in countries where it's forbidden to convert, forbidden to follow Jesus? By our church support of BMS World Mission, we are doing that. As I said earlier, BMS had mission workers in Afghanistan who were gently bringing change to the lives of individuals and the opportunity of freedom in Christ. Now, with the return of the Taliban, we're seeing the consequences once again, sadly, of an oppressive regime. Jesus, though, was making a difference, still will make a difference in that place, one life at a time. because God's Spirit continues to move in Afghanistan. I mentioned earlier also Robert and Rose, the official names of our BMS-linked mission workers, who we've met here a few times, working with BMS in Kosovo. Will you stand with Robert and Rose as they work together through work in schools, through work and supporting a local church, in their, our desire to share the good news of Jesus in a hostile place? We are blessed to have freedom to believe and freedom not to, for that matter. We tend not to be ostracized by our family and friends because of our faith. But listen to these words from M, another believer in the Middle East, who says, "I want to tell others about Jesus so that they too may know him. When I told my mother about my new faith, she wouldn't talk to me for 5 months, but I thank the Lord that the relationship was restored. I constantly try to tell my family about Jesus. And because of that, my youngest brother accepted Christ and got baptized." M is now receiving Bible training to help her better share her faith, thanks to BMS supporters. Will you stand with her? I want to see a world where it's possible for all to follow Jesus Christ by faith. Not by compulsion, but in freedom, by faith. A world where Christian communities can flourish and people are free to speak about their faith. We can stand for such a world as we pray for believers we've heard about. We can stand for this world as we give to BMS World Mission, as we give to support the persecuted church as an act of harvest offering. We can stand for such a world as we share the joy with others around us of knowing Jesus. Will you stand? And that was not just a rhetorical question. Will you stand now if you're able, as we pray into this situation? In a few moments, we'll be gathering around the Lord's table as well. You won't have to stay standing for that. So, Lord God, as we stand physically and as we maybe stand metaphorically, just thinking about what this means from our seats, we want to stand with other believers in other parts of the world who are not able to be particularly open about their faith, who are persecuted, who are ostracized because they have found faith in Jesus. We pray for those we have heard about in those videos earlier. We pray for Zed. We pray for K. We pray for M. To us, they are letters. They are stories. To you, they are known personally. And we thank you for their coming to faith. We pray that you will support them in their witness. We pray that through the work of BMS in different countries of the world, they will be supported in that. And they will be able to share faith so that many more people can find the joy of the Lord as their strength. We pray too for Robert and for Rose and for their growing family, whom we know, whom we have met, with whom it has been a joy to have sharing with us here. Lord, be with them in Kosovo. Be with them as they support that less than 1% of the population that has a Christian faith. Help them to increase it to 2, to 4, to 8, to 16, to see it doubling, to see it growing exponentially, that many more people may find what it means to have Christ and to have life to the full. Lord, we pray for Christians around the world who are being persecuted. Especially at this time, we pray for those in Kaduna, at the Kaduna and Kano states of Nigeria, where militia violence and mob rule has been directed at Christians in recent days. We pray for the freedom of all to explore faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him for themselves. This we pray in the powerful, the saving, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do please sit down.